2 seconds. Well, they can pick down here from the gun. Steelers show blitz. Here they come. It gets it away, and it's picked off at the goal line. There's a flag thrown on the run back, James Harrison, to run it back, and Harrison is past midfield. Harrison going down the sideline. Harrison still on his feet. Harrison is going to go all the way and waiting for the official to get there. Touchdown is signaled. A flag is down on the run back, back at the 9-yard line.
Prior to the pass, personal foul, grasping the face mask. Offense number 74. The foul occurred during the last time down. The touchdown counts.
Unbelievable. Harrison completely gassed. The call is on Reggie Wells. It's a 100-yard interception return.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to I Left My Wallet. I'm Antonio the Promise Thomas, also known as Thomas Santel, the Retro Grappler. And I want to thank you for tuning in today for this long-awaited talk, conversation I had with the one, the only Ice Train. Yes, the man whose theme music you hear played over and over and over again on various Brian and Vinny shows. Arguably one of the greatest wrestling themes ever. The man is here today to talk some sports because he had an amazing amateur football career. Could have had a pro career, but there were some things that led to him getting out of football and getting into pro wrestling, which we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk about him getting the coronavirus. He had COVID, and he has a very, very interesting story about it. His wife got it, and it's an interesting way that I found it out. And he's going to talk about it, what happened to him, you know, how he felt after, what he did to get through it. And this is a guy that's 55 years old. He's in great shape. But, you know, this disease, as he's going to tell you in this conversation, is no joke. He did some things to help him get through it. Hopefully, if anyone listening to this, God forbid that something happens to anyone listening to this, but he did some really positive things, some really smart things that helped him deal with this virus. And it's very interesting. I want you to take a listen and for yourself and listen to it. It's been about a couple weeks since we had our last show here with PN News. Life happens. I had a lot of career things outside of pro wrestling and doing the show here that I had to take care of. But we got a couple fun shows coming up, this being one of them. I have a watch along that I did with Paul Fontaine, which will be coming up later in the week. And I have another watch along that is in the can as well that I'm going to bring to you soon. One big housekeeping note, and that is our annual Wrestling Observer Fantasy Football League. Yes, it is that time of year again, and this is the second year for our Observer Fantasy Football League. I am trying my best to get our very own Brian into the league this year. He was enamored by it on his show last year with Vinny, trash talking for various owners through the league. That was won by Ryan Frederick. Ryan will be returning along with our fellow co-hosts here on the site. One non-co-host or host that was on the show was Mystery Matt, who's a big listener of the show. And Matt, I'm going to get in touch with you possibly if I can. I'll do it on the board. But we're gonna rotate listeners this year. So Matt was in last year. Matt, no offense taken, hopefully, but we're going to go with another listener, give them a chance to be in the league and whatnot. But if there's anything we can do for you to keep you in the loop, maybe you can co-manage that team. We will let you know, and let's work something out. Hit me up on Twitter at Retro Grappler on my Thomas Santel handle, or at Promise Thomas on my Antonio Thomas handle, and we'll get it done. But first, before we get into the conversation with Ice Train, I have a little quick segment here that I have with producer Rob. I'm trying to bring you a different segment before our main interview or talk with different various guests. And this one is with producer Rob. We're going to be going over the upcoming Observer Fantasy Football League. And it's going to give you all the info and all the details you need to know to follow along through the year. And if you're in the league, then here it is, straight from the producer's mouth. This is me and producer Rob talking this year's Fantasy Football League here on The Observer. Enjoy. All right, it's that time of year again. It's football season. Drafts, fantasy drafts are here upon us. And I have our very own producer, Rob, who is our league commissioner of our very own Wrestling Observer Fantasy Football League. Rob, welcome to the show again for like the 17th time.
How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Just a quick segment here on our Ice Train show. But by the way, the greatest, maybe greatest theme song ever, which is played on the Brian and Vinny show on a loop,
without
it
question.
Seems. Yes. Yes. We're just going to discuss here who is going to be in this year's Wrestling Observer Fantasy Football League. And, you know, people are chomping at the bit. We receive emails, texts, all sorts of bribes, I should say, people wanting to be in this league. But we have narrowed it down. We're going to go over this. We have our returning champion, which is Ryan Frederick, who contributes here on the site and on the Garrett's Fight Game Media website and page with a lot of MMA stuff. But I'm going to hand it off to you, and I'm going to have you read off the illustrious list of combatants in this year's Wrestling Observer Fantasy Football League.
Excellent. Well, as you mentioned, we do have last year's returning champion, Ryan Frederick. In addition, the second place, the unnamed Vinny Verhey team will be returning, as will the third place, yours truly, producer Rob team, will also be back. And the rest of the league, we basically have everybody except for two spots. So we have you, myself, Vinny, Josh Nason, Ryan Frederick, Paul Fontaine, Garrett Gonzalez, Sydney Bacabella, Mike Sempervivi, and Filthy Tom Lawler, who we thought might not be in, but I was able to give him just a bit of a nudge to get him in there. So
yeah, absolutely. He needs redemption after drafting Greg Zuerlein in the was it the first round or what? No, second
first
round
or second, I think. Yeah.
He had Mahomes, and then he followed it up strong with Greg Zuerlein. A couple quick housekeeping things here.
Yes.
I had mentioned on this show, my intro for this here show, about Mystery Matt, who is a fan in a reader here on the site,
yep.
fan of the show, fan of the sites. He was in last year.
Correct.
I didn't know if we were going to have a different reader or subscriber in it this year, but we are not. So is that correct?
Well, yes, we are having a couple new participants, or at least we have spaces for two new. We thought about a couple other things, thought about opening it up to another reader or maybe something else. But then I had a chat with everyone's favorite pizza delivering wrestler, Vinnie Massaro.
Oh. Okay.
And Vinnie Massaro has graciously accepted an invitation to join the league this year, so he will be the 11th participant
okay.
in our league.
All right.
And
so Matt, we have one more
yep.
Spot. Matt, as I said in the intro, get in touch with me on either of my Twitter handles or through the board. We'll work something out to keep you in the loop and to keep the fans in the loop, which they can do on this show and on the Brian and Vinny show. But we have that one illustrious spot left, and I have been leaving that spot open for none other than our very own co-leader of the Empire, Brian Alvarez. Now, Brian, the ball is in your court. It has been there since last year when you became enamored with this league, following the weekly scores, who had control of Rob's championship belt, which is going to be on the line every week, I take it, again this year.
No,
hell no. Okay.
Well, again, I'm not going through that again.
We'll have a linear champion somehow.
We will have to find something. We'll have to find something. But yeah.
We will. But Brian, I'm going to extend the offer to you. I know you don't know a lot about football. We want you in this league. We will help coddle you and coach you through and give you our No, I'm serious. I'm not being condescending. I'm not talking down to him. Brian, we want you in this league. It'll add so much to this league. The feedback was phenomenal last year. Readers, listeners were captivated by it. Brian, we want you a part of our fantasy football family. Thus, I throw the invitation out to you, and hopefully on one of the Brian and Vinny shows this week, you will accept my humble offer of joining us in this year's fantasy football league.
Brian Chico Alvarez, you egg sucking dog, you. Stop being a coward. Join the league. The people demand it.
Yes, we can have all sorts of nefarious trades between Tom and Brian should something happen.
you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, right?
What?
He's going to be like that woman in that does the Office NCAA tournament pool every year that totally just picks the teams based on their nicknames and ends up winning the whole thing.
I hope so. let's get it. Let's get him in the league. Brian, we need you in the league. Now, that segues us into this week's guest. It's Ice Train, who has, as we said, some of the greatest theme music ever. Brian, this is for you. This is Ice Train's theme music. Listen to it, digest it, let it soak in. This is for you. I got the man on the show himself, because we need you in this fantasy football league. And hopefully this talk with Ice Train and this whole unedited theme of Ice Train's WCW entrance music will get you to join our fantasy football league. Brian, the ball is in your court. So what is the current world record for straight bar curl?
249 by Denis Planko out of Russia.
Okay. Okay. And I follow James Harrison on Instagram. So he is a machine and he's known for his workouts. So what do you know what James Harrison, you know, around what he curls?
Yeah, he's up to about 200 pounds, maybe 205.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. 55 years old, man, you're still going strong. I know, you know, there's guys I went to high school with that never lifted, never played any sports that are beat up. So props to you, man. And that leads us into your football career, because I listen to you on with Dave Penzer. It was a show from a couple years ago, and you had mentioned your. I mean, this is a pretty impressive football career in high school and then in college. And you guys didn't really touch upon it, but you were you played football, high school football in Detroit. Tell us about your high school career and then going on to your football career at Central State, because it's very, very, it's impressive. You could have had a pro career easily.
Yeah, I'll tell you, high school was fun because I was a good amateur wrestler, and they canceled the program my senior year because football coach was a wrestling coach.
Yep.
In high school, we won three state championships in a row, four in a row. And we lost one game every year when I guess we would get too cocky and we would go out there and just drop an egg and then remotivate. But
yep.
In high school, four state championships in football, three state championships in the 200 meters.
Wow.
And that's kind of funny for people to believe I used to run the 200 meters. And then my senior year, biggest, strongest, fastest champion, I was benching 525 in high school my senior year.
Wow.
And I had a 750 squat my senior year.
Wow. Wow. And
at State Park, of course. Go ahead.
And you signed a letter of intent, and I believe you went to 1 year at Michigan. You were...
Yes,
I mean, Michigan, I grew up a Michigan fan when I was a kid, Tyrone Wheatley and you know, Elvis Gerback when they were there back in the day, and that team in 97 that split the national title, I think, with Nebraska. But tell us, like, going on to college football, tell us about that transition.
Well, I tell you, I went to Michigan, and I played the first three games. I think I was so arrogant, I'm going to be honest, I was pretty arrogant. Al Sanchez was the start nose tackle. He would play probably the first four plays.
Yep.
And I would play the rest of the game. And I was like, why can't I get my name called for the starting lineup? Because basically, I'm playing the whole game.
Yeah.
And Gary Mulder was like, you got to wait your turn. I mean, you basically took the guy's job, but we're not going to put you in the lineup. And he's been here for 5 years, and he's basically only going to play one series.
Hmm.
So I left the next day, and I went transferred to Kentucky State. And everybody thought I was crazy. But when I overall look at the picture, only thing I missed about Michigan was the great experience with the Michigan family. Michigan was a family. Once you went there and you stayed there, you were family to history.
Yeah.
At the end of your life, you were always going to be a Wolverine.
Bo Schembechler, one of the greatest college coaches of all time,
told me, what am I doing? I said, Coach, I felt Michigan was a system football player. And I was pretty young to know that, Harry Charger. And I was pretty young to know that Michigan was a system football organization.
Sure.
And the system, pro scouts really don't like systems. So academically, I love Michigan, and I went to Kentucky State. So you have to understand, I dropped down a level to Division I AA, and we played against Mississippi Valley State.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Rice.
And we got beat 88-0. I had never lost a game like that in my life. I said, what the hell?
Hey, so I'm guessing Jerry Rice was on the team at this time. He was probably a senior, maybe, right? Correct?
Yes, he was.
What was that like playing against the...
Let me tell you. Ralph Bland was out of my high school, out of the port. He's a big, Ralph's doing a lot of stuff with charter schools in Michigan now.
Very cool.
And I said, Ralph, all you got, they're posting you up in the end zone. Just, you know, time the ball. And Willie Cotton was falling all around, throwing the ball everywhere. And he just caught everything. There was no accuracy on passes. It was like alley-oop dunk, like Shaquille O'Neal in his first 5 years in the NBA. And I looked up, my dad said, maybe you should have stayed in Ann Arbor.
Oh, man.
But then the next Friday, I got 7 letters from the NFL as a freshman.
Wow.
I never got that many letters. I got a letter from the Giants, the Cowboys, 2 USFL teams. Because the pro scouts was like, I was hitting Willie Cotton every time he dropped back and threw the ball. I think I had sacked him 4 times in the series. But, I mean, Jerry Rice is such a phenomenal player. I don't care if my grandma was back then. She had 2 legs. She could have threw the ball and he could have caught a touchdown. I'm sorry. That guy was a awesome, awesome player.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he baptized me into HBC football. I was like, I have no idea what happened, but we just got blown out.
Yeah, that's him and Joe Montana is the reason why I'm a 49er fan to this day. So that has a when you said Mississippi Valley State, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Hey,
it was something. That was a heck of a day.
So you were your college career was almost as impressive as, well, I would say just as impressive as high school career. And you had a lot of offers as a freshman, but then when it was time to go to the pros, talk about that, because you got an interesting story about how you were offered. I think you were ready to go with Cincinnati, but then but that never transpired.
I'll tell you what happened in Cincinnati. Paul Brown was a great man, still a good man to this day, still here. But Paul Brown, I signed a contract with the Ottawa Rough Riders. They had brought me in, and this is when I learned the money part about football. I signed a 2-year contract for $75,000 and $100,000. I got to practice. When I tell you I dominated. So I went to the general manager, Mr. Peterson, at Ottawa. Damon Allen was the quarterback, Marcus Allen's brother.
Oh, yeah.
I walked up in the room. I said, "Sir, all due respect, we're going to have to void this contract." "What are you talking about, ho?" I said, "You watch the tape. Now, I don't mind playing nose tackle, but I'm not going to make this quarterback is not going to make, I'm not going to let him make 3 times the amount of money that I'm making." And I only based it because, I'll be honest with you, the CFL was like playing in high school to me. And I'm not dishing it, but when I walked up in there, I knew I was worth a lot more money than what they were paying.
Sure.
And when I was so strong and fast at that time, I can just, at that time, I would go into the gym and I would do 505 for like 30 reps for my cardio.
Wow.
Squat.
Wow.
And I would go nonstop. I would actually take 500 pounds, do it 30 straight times, butt in the ground, all the way up and down to get my heart rate up. Because I would run my sprints, but I was trying to, I would do that, then I would go through like 50 push-ups, get back under the squat rack, so I would be in shape when the team called me. So when they called me, they said, "Superman has arrived in Ottawa." I was about 326 pounds with 16% body fat. I was a monster.
Wow.
And when I went there, I read the contract. I was up all night long reading contracts where guys were getting ready for people to knock on their door to get cut. And I wasn't worried about that. And they told me, they said, "Listen, this is good money." I said, "If I get hurt, you pay me $500 a week. Am I correct?" "Yes." "Out of that $500, taxes come out." "Yes." "Out of that $500, I pay for my own apartment, correct?" "Yes." "And then if you want to release me, you get to hold me for 4 weeks if you want to cut me or trade me." They said, "Yes." I said, "Well, this is not a football contract. This is a contract for you guys. I'm the football player." So my agent, Roger Shane, was like, "There you go with that political science stuff again, being a lawyer." I said, "Roger, I'm watching guys out here 28 years old who can't walk. And they got zippers for knees. Their knees just look like they just got the whole front side of it up."
Yep.
So
yep.
Everybody in the world got angry at me. But the point was, I knew the contract in the CFL was only an advantage if you could play every day. If you got hurt, you got no money.
It was like wrestling. It was just like wrestling.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
My WCW contract, they were all guaranteed.
Okay, so let me rephrase that. Territorial wrestling back in the day with, you know, yes. Bill Watts, that's Mid-South.
Bill Watts, Portland, Oregon, where guys, and that's why when I went to Eric Bischoff, I was a rookie. Paz Watley educated me. Ole Anderson educated me. I went up there my first year. I couldn't wrestle. I couldn't chew bubble gum. I was a horrible wrestler. But I knew I had a personality. And I knew that I had to go in there and sell myself.
Yeah.
So Eric Bischoff says to me, here's a $50,000 contract. And I said, Eric, with all due respect, how can you put a value on my talent? He looks at me. He's like, I liked you the first day I saw you. So what do you think you're worth right now? I said, at least $200,000.
Wow.
Eric gave $200,000 contract. Now, I had that contract when I had a torn ACL. I couldn't walk, but I was on TV every day. And I didn't have the talent, and Ole Anderson knew I wasn't ready. So Ole would just let me go out there and do handicap matches, two against one, and just destroy people.
Yeah.
Because he knew, hey, we just want to get over your personality. But when you fire Ole, then you bring in people who didn't understand, hey, he's green, let's build him up slowly. They never talked about I was stronger than Bill Kazmaier. That never came up.
Yeah.
It never came up that I was 25 years old, benching 700 pounds, where Kazmaier was doing 661. They still talked about him like he was the strongest man in the world.
Those competitions
were great. But by the time you got to him, it didn't. I was more of a businessman. I liked the financial part about wrestling because I understood if it was on television, it was making somebody some money.
Yeah.
Because those sponsors, when I was at Kentucky State, every Saturday I would watch NWA wrestling. Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
Bob Bear, Tony Allen. That was on the TBS Superstation.
Yep.
That's all my Saturday nights was consumed with. I love wrestling from Bobo Brazil to Dick the Bruiser to the Mighty Igor. It's something that you just have to love that everybody's not going to love. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
It was from the weight room to wrestling. I loved it. I mean, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I still love it.
Yeah. And I want to get back into football. But I want to talk about when you say you were green. And everybody is. You only know what you know, and you can't teach experience. But you went to the CWA in Germany and in Europe, and you worked with. You give a lot of credit to Fit Finley for taking you under his wing and showing you, giving you those reps and teaching you. Dave Taylor as well. And Fit is a guy I know from WWE because before house shows, he used to roll around with us and roll around with the other guys. And you're like, when he gets in the ring with you, you're like, holy shit. Now I'm starting to get it. Now, wow, this is how it's done. So to talk about the going there to CWA and just the guys like Fit Finley and David Taylor, how they really made you into a worker.
Let me tell you, the first day I got to Germany, I knew Otto Fox was an angel from heaven that God sent me, and I love God, rest his soul. Brother, me and Alex Wright dad got into the ring.
Steve Wright, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Wright. I couldn't understand. We were the main event. We were going crazy. And he was trying to make me look good, but I just couldn't get his English. I couldn't. He was doing all the flips. Man, I just hit him. I threw him out the ring one time. He was so hot at me in the locker room. And Finley watched me train in my boxing because I was really serious about my boxing back then. Finley was like, we're going to break this. By the mid season.
Hello? Nope. Oh, yeah, there you are. Hey.
If it was that, he was worth wrestling that I ever saw in his life. That's right. Steve Wright, nice train. From that, Europeans knew what I wanted to learn how to wrestle. And I wasn't like most Americans coming to like, we're going to do the first thing, and that's going to be it. And that's why they liked me. Vader had sent me to Europe. Vader said, listen, I need you to go to Europe because it's a big man territory, and Otto's going to take care of you. And he did. So I get off the plane. I got warm-up tape against the Harlem Heat in a double tag team. The next day I was gone to Germany, but I was still under contract with WCW. So to make a long story short, I'm over there working, and every day, the other booker, Peter Williams, wouldn't let me work, but he would let me do all the autograph sessions. I would have people. I was younger, very attractive. The women would just flock in and just do my autographs all day long because I would smile. I was just a nice person. So yeah. Peter used me for that. So Philly walked up to me and said, "Hey, my dad knows you." I said, "Dad, I know your dad. He was an amateur wrestling coach from Ireland. But he knew me when I was in Michigan and I was a state champion as in softball. And all I did was snatch a kid. He was state champ. I had no technique. Went, you know how you go up under? I was under. He was on top of me. Went up, shot him, boom, suplexing, 1, 2, 3, I was the state champ. The point of it was, father remembered me. He said, "Hey, come on, man, meet me in the rain, and let's put some work in." And then Finley would get up in the morning and say, "Don't use your strength. I just want you to relax and roll."
Yeah, it's flowing. Yeah, it's flowing. It's just like wrestling, or jujitsu. You just flow and yeah.
And he would let me roll with him, and then the greatest match I ever won was the Bremen Cup. We were in Vienna, Austria. Finley had never been pinned. Peter Williams was like, "You're the main event tonight. You're going over in 3 rounds against Finley, and I want you over strong." Like, what? Nobody loses to Finley. Nobody.
Mm.
And he came up to me and said, "These people are out here." It was over. It was a lot of Africans that hit the crowd from Nigeria. Mm. They just loved it. They came. And I was on the poster. And one night, for a whole month, the whole arena was black.
Wow.
And all.
Wow.
And they had never got that many, and I was a draw. And they came to support me, and Finley took me over, and it was just a beautiful time to be in Germany with Dave Taylor, Lord Stephen Casey, Peter Williams. I mean, he's a great man, and Tony St. Clair. Oh my God!
Wow.
Oh. Tony St. Clair really influenced my life. Tony St. Clair. Mick McMichael, the referee, and we were a brotherhood, man. It was like that was my learning ground.
Yeah.
And I did that for 3 years, and then the WCW got tired of me going to Europe, and although I had won the cup against JBL, John Bradshaw, and we had a great finals match in Bremen, and Aldo told me if I didn't get a push when I got home, he said, "You'll never get one because you're really, really ready. You can go out here and they can build you up and tell you what to do." And I came back and they tried to do the fire and ice thing. And that was just a debacle.
Hmm.
And I'm not going to say it was Scott Norton's fault. I'm going to take the blame of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as Teddy Long said one day, it was just, they didn't know what to do with Ice Train. It's not that he didn't get over. They just did. I was young, and they just had no idea. But
and I never understood that, because you could go, the strength, you did that huge, you got so much height on that standing splash you used to do. Like, I just never understood it.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm never going to say it was discrimination.
Mm.
I'm going to say that I opened up doors like Devon Hughes told me for him, Big E Langston, and I opened up doors for Mark Henry. And that's what I'm saying. I was the guy who just had to open up the doors. Now, did I want to go to Vince? We could just never agree to disagree. Because I just needed something in writing with Vince. Vince can sell you a great dream and kill it off in 2 days.
Hmm. And you know, you say you love how you still love wrestling to this day. We all, you know, we're the biggest fans, you know, that get into the business. You mentioned Big E. I was going to bring him up about a guy that kind of reminds you of yourself today. There's a guy, again, has everything, certainly had a phenomenal run with the New Day, but I mean, it looks like it's time now for him to get that, and rightfully so, get that monster single push. And I'm hoping for it. But along with him, who are some guys that you really enjoy watching today?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. When I think of wrestling, I have a 20-year-old named Miles, my 20-year-old.
Yep.
My son is really growing into, and I'm not building him up. Miles started training with me at Home Strength and Conditioning, and that's my training program that I do in Georgia. Miles started with his dad. I think Miles was a wide receiver in football. He was 175 pounds.
Mm.
The other day I watched my 20-year-old accomplish 650 squat in the bucket, a 680 deadlift,
wow,
and about a 400 squat, and he has about a 39 vertical.
Wow. Wow.
And When I see Miles, I see he has about a 10-year-old face. That's what makes Miles so silly. He looks about 10 years old. Hilarious. He has a real baby face. And when I see Miles, I see a younger Big E Langston coming down the pike. I don't ever see a Miles hit the 300-pound mark like his dad. But at 250 pounds, by 23 years old, he's going to probably get into wrestling, and Vince is going to love him because he's probably going to be the strongest man in the world at 23 years old.
Wow. Wow. And
when I say an athlete, oh, my God, dunking a basketball.
Yeah.
Vertical. I mean, his vertical makes my – I had a 39 vertical. His vertical has to be 42 right now.
Wow, that's –
his vertical. And I'll be honest with you, I'm excited – see my son's growth into this man because I said, Miles, if you can bench 600, squat 900, deadlift 900 and 250 at 23 years
that's
old.
That's unheard of.
Free,
yeah.
Nobody. That is something Vince will love to see.
And
I know Miles wants to get into the business later on.
Yeah.
And I see Miles bigger version, small, same version as Big E Langston, because that's kind of, he has about a 5-year-old face.
Yeah.
I love Big E Langston. I love his work.
Yeah.
I love him as a wrestler. And I told my son, I said, this is kind of about that same 6 foot tall range of height and that big butt from that squat to deadlift. And I think Miles is going to really be a great wrestler because he loves the business.
And that's most important. You got to love it. You can have all the best combine numbers and whatnot, but it's unlike anything else. And to be able to love it and to acclimate to the non-athletic stuff is, that's the most important part. And you mentioned your sons. I do DDPY almost every day, and I'm doing.
Okay, yeah,
I'm doing. You know, I've had Dallas on my show before, and we've corresponded back and forth. I'm getting certified in it now because it's really helped me, and it helps me after my martial arts workouts or any workout. But there was a couple months ago, I'm doing a live workout. With Dallas, and he mentions your sons were there doing the workout with him. And
yes, Michael, my son Michael, he runs cross country. And then Miles.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Bronson Steiner too. That's my adopted son, Bronson Steiner.
Yeah. But I was like, what's that?
Bronson Steiner. Chris Steiner's son.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bronson. Yeah, yeah. Bronson was there as well. And yeah. And, you know, and DDP mentioned, he mentioned Harold, and he goes, people that don't know Ice, you know, it was Ice Train in WCW. He mentioned that, did you have COVID at one point? Because I believe he used you as an example, saying Harold got COVID, but still did his workouts every day. He didn't miss a workout. They weren't to the level they normally would, but he just kept moving. All right, we had a little disconnection there with me and Ice Train, but here it is where we pick up talking quickly about DDP Yoga, or DDPY, and his battle with COVID.
Dallas, and so that's awesome you get certified with DDP Yoga, man. I love it. I think it's, man, I tell you, it helps me out a lot.
Yeah, and it absolutely. I mean, it keeps just the strengthening and the what it does for your spine, the lengthening and just the flexibility. You just, you know, there's nothing like finishing up a workout and you're drenched in sweat and you feel like a rubber band, you know.
Yeah.
But DDP was, I was saying when we got disconnected, DDP was saying that. He was referencing you, I believe, saying that you got COVID, but you work through it. You didn't miss a workout every day. And is that true? Did you have the virus at one point?
Yes, I did a lot of traveling.
Yep.
And I woke up one Saturday morning. I went to work out and I threw up, and it was weird because it came out of nowhere.
Hmm.
So about Wednesday, I went to meet a colleague, and it was raining. I got out of the car and said, I don't feel good.
Hmm.
And then I woke up Friday morning, I had a fever. And I stayed in the house, and I was like, man, this fever is really weird. And nobody was talking about the COVID. This was like 3 weeks before it became big.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this is weird. So the next day, I had a fever again. And I worked out every day. I was like coughing. No, it first started with the fever.
Mm.
And then I went to a big banquet. I tell my wife, I didn't know I had the COVID. But man, ain't no telling how many people I made sick at that banquet. It was a Hall of Fame banquet. So I went to the banquet, and on Saturday night, it was the same night that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fought.
Yep. Yeah, the February.
Yes. I went to bed, and I promise you, I never sweated in the bed a day in my life. The bed was a puddle.
Wow. And
let me tell you how I went, though. So I was taking my wife to church, and she got up feeling good. About an hour later, she says, honey, I feel horrible. I need to go home. I said, really? So I'm just thinking I got a cold, not understanding that I had given this to my wife. Now, the kids didn't get it. Hmm. So my wife got it, but I didn't know I had it. So I said, okay. So every day I worked out. I can hear the water in my lungs gargling. That's how much water was in my lungs.
Oof.
And I knew the antibiotics didn't do anything. I was doing a breathing treatment every day on breathing treatment for the asthma. I was doing it. And that was the only thing that helped me. Every day I did a breathing treatment. And I'm telling you, at about 2 weeks later, I woke up. It was going. But it took a month to get through the fatigue.
Wow.
I would sit on the couch, and I would drink water all day long, and I was like, man, this crap is crazy.
Yeah.
So I knew I had it. I gave it to my wife. I believe our son gave it to us at the restaurant he worked at, handling all the menus and everything of that. because he had it, Miles had it. And I believe we were driving in his car, and he got one of them little Challengers, and I believe he had it and gave it to Dad. Because Miles was real sick for about 8 days. I said, buddy, he's going to the doctor in a couple of days. This is before anybody knew about that COVID.
Yeah.
And I told Dallas, I said, Dallas, if I come down to rest, I promise you I'd have been dead. I was at the gym, curling, couldn't breathe. I mean, when I tell you coughing, I'm coughing and I'm sucking air in between doing 150 pounds. But I am like so tired.
Yeah.
And once I worked out, I would cough. I would feel better later on that night. I'd be like, okay, I'd be up coughing. So what I didn't want to happen today, the lungs close up, and you got to catch your breath. Mm. So I knew the ibuprofen kept your body from, you know, getting the inflammation in the lungs.
Sure.
So I took a couple of those. But that ibuprofen, I promise you, didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
It was all about that breathing treatment. I was doing them 3 or 4 times a day, and I woke up about 2 weeks later, it was gone. And
wow.
I'm telling you, it took about a month and a half later to get better.
Wow.
When I say going to the bathroom, I was thirsty all day long.
Mm.
And, man, it was one tough time. And I tell people all the time, one of my wife's colleagues got sick, and she used to play basketball. I said, get up. She says, why? You need to get up and do a workout. Every time you wake up, do you about 20 squats and 20 jumping jacks.
Yeah.
And Miss Lauren, the next couple of days, she got her test result back. She didn't have it. But I think they missed about 80% of her test.
Mm.
And because my friend Mike had it, and he said he had the antibodies. He said, bro, I didn't even know I had it. I said,
yeah.
You came from California.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was only sick for like 7 days. I said, you're young. Your body just fought it off. And when Dallas got it, he said he fought it every day. He said, I got in that steam room, that sauna room.
Yep.
I said, Dallas, it was real. My wife's chest felt like, she said, honey, I can't breathe. It's like something just sitting on my chest. It was a tough 2 months, I'll tell you that.
Wow. And
it's real.
It's very real, and I know people that, you know, people have gotten it, and everyone's had, like you said, obviously we know now everyone has a different reaction to it, but, you know, I'm a PE and health teacher, and I coach and train people, so I'm around, you know, I'm around people sweating and sneezing and coughing all day, but I tell people all the time, Harold, that I'm like, you gotta move, just move, and no matter how you're feeling, unless you're injured, you're always going to feel better after you move, after you do a workout, you know? And it's just move. Just get up and move, whatever it is. And it's refreshing, and I really enjoy hearing you say that and reiterate that as well. Hey, as we wrap things up here, I want to get to what you have going on and you know, plugging your business and your training. But give me, who are some of the NFL players you enjoy watching now? You mentioned you're a defensive lineman, defensive tackle. You know, we got Aaron Donald, Casey Hayward, you know, Miles Garrett, Kenny Clark. We got a bunch of great guys today. Who do you enjoy watching on Sunday afternoons?
I like the kid number one out of Washington. The defensive end, I forget his name. I think he went to Purdue.
Montez Sweat.
He's a white kid.
Matt Ioannidis.
Not more nice. For the Redskins.
Oh, Allen. Is it Allen?
I forget his name, but he plays a good game.
He's
just to that quarterback. I love Aaron Donald. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Aaron Donald, I love Aaron Donald. I like the defensive tackle. I like both of the defensive tackles out of Baltimore. They play. played solid, and I like Grady Jarrett of the Falcons. I think Grady is underrated and can play. I like the way they kind of were built like me, and I like the nose tackle. You know, I like a guy 6'1", 300, short arms, can come off that ball and hit that, drop that hip on you and spin on you, man. That's my position. I love. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I'm really liking offensive side of football right now. I like these quarterbacks. I like Jimmy out of Jimmy G, as they call him. I like Jimmy G. I like the kid out of Baltimore.
Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Tom Brady man, and I'm trying to see Aaron get to one more Super Bowl out of Green Bay. If he doesn't get to one more, he can't be over Brett Favre. So I think he's a great quarterback. And I hope Colin Kaepernick can find a team again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've talked about that before on the show. I don't know why. You know, I'm hoping as well. I'm a 49ers fan, so I don't get into political stuff, but the guy can play. He's better than Geno Smith, who was, I think, still the backup in Seattle. So let's make that happen.
I tell you, he did you guys, man. He killed Green Bay two of them playoff years. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was a good – but Greg Roman was his coordinator.
Yes.
And who's Greg Roman the coordinator for now?
Ravens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it takes certain coaches to develop certain players.
And, yeah.
And it's, hey, man, because I'll tell you, I told people last year, I said, man, Lamar Jackson lost a playoff game, still had 500 yards in offense. That's bananas.
Yeah.
That's just bananas.
Yeah.
I love the NFL. I hope we play. But I tell you this, the basketball in the UFC in the bubble, it's not the same as seeing fans out there.
No.
I miss the fans.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling has to miss the fans.
Yeah.
The fans are what make sports the way they are.
Yeah.
The people, not the players. The fans make the sports what they are.
Yep.
Those people who save up to buy those tickets, those people who work jobs extra to buy the last minute tickets, those are the people who make sports.
Yeah.
Not the guy sitting up in the press box with the $1 billion. It's the guy who works in the gas station, the grocery clerk. Those are the people who make sports, are the fans.
Harold, where can listeners here at the Wrestling Observer find you on social media or find, you know, Twitter, Instagram, any of that stuff, and or online for any of the work that you're doing today?
They can go to my Instagram. It's Ice Train on my Instagram. My wrestling name, Ice Train. And they can go to my Facebook. It's Harold Hogue. I check them out and get some research on them. And I hit them in a friend. They can follow my workouts, follow my curl sessions. Like right now, I'm about to do a lot of posting because I'm going to be posting some great curls. And I'm going to let them know at 55 years old, the old man is still at the top of the strength game. It's my gift from God. It's something he gave me. And I'm going to go out here. My job is to break that world's record for Dennis Plinko, and everybody else can join in. I'm going to get a 250-pound curl in the next 4 months. It's going to be my record.
Let's go do it, man. It's ice_train_ on Instagram. And you're looking, man, you defy time because you have you on there. It looks like you got your son on there. You guys are putting in work. So, Dennis.
I want all my 40 and 50-year-old, 60-year-old brothers to know.
Yeah.
They can still be in shape. They can still work out. We don't have to let Father Time destroy us.
Nope.
All we got to do is go for a 3-mile walk, 10 push-ups a day, watch our diet, watch our sugar intake, and brother, we can live a long time.
Dennis Plinko, he's coming for you.
To the band where it just don't stop. Jumps, pop, tops, drops in the front end hop. Paint flop, screens on at the bed in the zone. Yeah, it's on, ride home, ballin' at my home. Jesse's place, don't hate, showing up in the state. Can't wait, get it straight while the front end break. Play the cost, speed of balls, looking good when I flop. Sunshine, let it die, turn it up and climb. Roll around, hit your block, trunk going on lock. Let it up, let it pop, light up the whole block. Southside, how we hold on a gangster stroll. Hitting so hard, knocking outside mode. Hit the highway, cruise control, gon' let it roll. Pull up a drink, fired up and show the windows close. On chrome, high slide, throwing up the south side. Give it in this day, I'm coming down, wrecking the slag. FaceTime, cause we know that they feel us. Three-wheeler, bold pillar, acting bad for Skrilla. Swiss a burner, bounce a turner, sitting low on fold. I'm pulling through the lot, slamming doors on buttons. And I'ma slide, slide, slip it to slide. Pop trunk, let it die, show up in my ride. Roll out the red carpet, I'ma buy the car. Ballet, piece and change, start to see my chain. Hit the club, show a little, tip the dancer good. Got killer in the club, bro, after the club. One more time for they mind, I'ma go put it down. That boy fat man, yeah, I got to climb. All right. Understood, flossing for my hood, taking pride in my ride like every player shoot.